Police departments in New York State have until April 1st to make reforms that address systemic racism. The mandate came after George Floyd was killed by police in Minneapolis last May. In small cities and towns upstate, the process has revealed deep divisions in the way people think about racial bias and policing. North Country Public Radio's Emily Russell reports.
For months after the killing of George Floyd, people around the country flooded the streets. They held signs that read, "I can't breathe," and "Black Lives Matter." There were big rallies in cities and towns across New York, like this one in Plattsburgh. In June, Governor Andrew Cuomo unveiled a new mandate. Every law enforcement agency in New York had to make reforms aimed specifically at reducing racial bias.
We're not going to fund police agencies in this state that do not look at what has been happening, come to terms with it, and reform themselves.
Agencies are required to meet with the public to work on these reforms. The sheriff's department in Franklin County along the Canadian border held a public meeting last month. People asked about the use of chokeholds, about the need for body cameras. One woman, Colleen Farmer, asked about racism.
What specific systemic racism has been found within your department at this point?
There was a long pause before Undersheriff Terrence White answered.
Systemic racism? None.
His boss, Sheriff Kevin Mulverhill, then stepped in.
I don't see where systemic racism is mentioned at all in the governor's executive order.
The governor's order does, in fact, mention racism multiple times. It specifically mentions systemic racial bias. Henry Smart says this back and forth at Franklin County's meeting does not surprise him. Smart is a professor at New York's John Jay College of Criminal Justice.
Of course, your defensive answer immediately is like, no. I'm not racist, and you could very well not be an actively hating on a group, a total group, but we're all participating in systemic racism. We're all doing it.
Smart says one of the problems with the state's mandate is that it doesn't require someone at these meetings who is trained to guide discussions on systemic racism.
If we want to have these dialogues, we have to define what these concepts are for folks and explain it in a way that doesn't single them out or ostracize them in the way that these behaviors have done to marginalized groups in this country.
Nikki Hilton Patterson was at Franklin County's meeting. She's a Black woman who heads the Adirondack Diversity Initiative. Hilton Patterson stepped in and tried to explain that there are different kinds of racism.
The problem with talking about race and understanding race and racism is that we hyper-focus on individual acts. Structural racism is a totally different beast.
It's why Black people earn a third less than white people. It's why Black men are six times more likely to end up in prison. There are racial disparities in education, homeownership, life expectancy because of systemic racism. Without understanding and accepting this fact, some of these meetings are getting bogged down or going off the rails. At a police reform meeting in the small village of Potsdam in December, the conversation shifted from the Black experience to what police were going through, how the community can support them better. John Youngblood, who teaches at the local college, pushed back.
You talk about humanizing the police. We're here because of the issue with the police not humanizing African Americans. How did we jump from one to the other so quickly?
Youngblood and the only other Black member of the reform committee resigned after that meeting. At other meetings, language has been explicit. The city of Glens Falls had to shut down its meeting in February after some people over Zoom started using the N-word. New York's attorney general is investigating. It's unclear if the people using the racial slurs were local or not. It's also unclear whether this whole process will lead to a reckoning with systemic racism. Here's Franklin County Sheriff Kevin Mulverhill in a follow-up interview.
I think the governor is reacting to a national issue, and that's fine, and that's his prerogative. I don't think that systemic racism is necessarily inherent in every system.
According to the NAACP, though, Black people are more likely than white people to be pulled over, to be searched, to be shot and killed by police. As a Black man, Henry Smart from John Jay College says he does everything he can to avoid an encounter with the police.
I'm not going to pick up the phone. I'm going to call the cops. No, they may show up, see me, and just shoot. Yeah, I don't take that risk.
Nikki Hilton Patterson from the Adirondack Diversity Initiative said she's also felt targeted by police because she's Black. But she says she's focusing on the long view, hoping that by requiring training, making reforms, and just talking about systemic racism, a difference can be made down the road.
The data shows that it takes 2 years to change behaviors and 5 years to change attitudes. And so that's what we're planning for.
Some departments in upstate New York are making changes. Officers in St. Lawrence County are now wearing body cameras. The city of Plattsburgh is considering doing the same. There's more focus on mental health and social services. And a lot of communities want officers to get implicit bias training. That'll help them better understand and be aware of systemic racism. For Here and Now, I'm Emily Russell.